China is going through its first orderly transition of power since the communists took over in 1949. Longtime heir-in-waiting Hu Jintao has become the head of China's ruling Communist Party, but retiring President Jiang Zemin is set to keep a grip on power after packing the new leadership with his own allies. He also remains head of the military commission. RCI's Lynn Desjardins joins us now. Lynn, this smooth transition seems reassuring to the West.
Well, that's right, Jim. No one was murdered and there was no big internal power struggle. The leaders are new, but this is by no means a new beginning for China. It's more like steady as she goes. I spoke with Charles Burton, a professor of political science at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. He has studied in China and was a counselor to the Canadian Embassy in Beijing as recently as the year 2000. I asked him what struck him most about the leaders. Change.
Well, I think that it's the first time that we've seen a stable and predictable change in leadership, and the older members of the leadership have retired, and the younger people, in other words, people in their 50s and 60s, have come to the fore. So I think this is a good thing.
How much of a change can we expect to see?
I don't think we'll see any dramatic change in policy. China has essentially determined the political course that I think we can see the country taking for the foreseeable future. In other words, they're not making revolution anymore. The Communist Party seems mostly to be concerned about promoting economic development. And I think we'll continue to see a continuation of the policies which have been so successful for the Chinese Communist Party over the past 20 years.
How much power will Hu Jintao have?
I think that we're not looking at the error of one very strong leader, a kind of descendant of the emperor type of leader as we had seen in the past. And you've seen a deterioration in the overall charisma and power of the main communist leader since Chairman Mao. Mao Zedong was definitely an emperor type figure, and he was succeeded by Deng Xiaoping, who was also very highly regarded and revered and very powerful, but didn't have the same sort of semi-godlike characteristics. And then Jiang Zemin was a lesser figure of less importance, although he did try to create a kind of personality cult around him. With this new leader, I think we're seeing a more normal sort of technocratic leadership where his power and authority will not be absolute. And I don't expect that we'll see the kind of personality cult that's formed around the other leaders. I don't think that we'll see large posters of him, of his face in downtown Beijing, or the kind of fawning praise of his wise leadership that we've seen of the other communist leaders. So I think from that point of view, China's entering into a more rational and technocratic age.
President Jiang Zemin will still have some power, though, it seems. He's got a lot of allies in the new leadership.
Yes. He has managed to pack the standing committee of the Politburo with people that we know are proteges of himself. And it's also expected that he'll retain his chairmanship of the Central Military Commission, which is a very important role in the power structure of China. But he is, after all, a man of 76, and I think we can expect that, due to the infirmities of age, that he'll be phasing down his active involvement in day-to-day decision-making.
These leaders seem to have a background in engineering, many of them. Is that significant at all?
Oh, I think so. I think it's the era of the technocrat in China, and people who have engineering and system skills are what the management of this enormously complicated country requires. And I think for that reason, one can't expect to see a lot of change in the political structures towards democratization. These people are authoritarian technocrats who know how to engineer the economy, but they are not sympathetic with the rights of individual citizens to express their political preferences.
What will the change of leadership mean for Canada?
Well, I think it's a good thing in terms of continuing stability in China and confidence that the economy will continue to grow, so China will remain a very good investment environment for Canada. I think we'll probably continue to try and engage the Chinese leadership on the idea of coming into better compliance with international norms of human rights. And on the whole, I think this is about as good a party congress as Canada could have hoped for, considering the circumstances of, of Chinese politics today.
What are the challenges that face this new leadership?
Well, I think that there are essentially two main challenges. One is the increasing gap between rich and poor in China, between the regions, between the relatively wealthy eastern coastal regions, the major cities of Beijing and Shanghai and Canton, and within society, between the rich business people and the and ordinary people who, many of whom are still employed in the state sector, which is a declining sector of the economy. So you're seeing people who previously enjoyed health and educational and pension benefits who've lost those and who are not doing as well. At the same time, as you see an increasing proliferation of great wealth and a lot more Mercedes and BMWs on the roads. And so you've got this tension of economic polarization. The other problem is, due to China not being a democratic kind of country, there's a strong problem of increasing corruption among the government elite. And this causes great dissatisfaction in people when they see that government officials are becoming very wealthy for reasons which are not clear, and that there's some unfairness in decision-making in the sense that one can bribe one's way through to get what you want by delivering money to the right person.
Thank you so much for this.
It's great to talk to you.
RCI's Linda Jardin spoke with Charles Burton, a professor of political science at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. He was until recently a counselor to the Canadian Embassy in Beijing.